So turn to the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 2. And we're also going to read Acts, chapter 3, verse 10. But then we're going to move forward because I want to speak on a subject that will help us. And the subject this morning, faith to withstand the enemy at the gate. Faith to withstand the enemy at the gate. Acts chapter 3, verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his brother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. You know, let me read also chapter 3 and verse 10, the book of Acts. Then they knew that it was he who had sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them. Father, I pray today you just use me in a special way to speak into the hearts of everyone that's here, that you have placed in my heart words about the subjects of knowing what it is to have faith to withstand the enemy at the gate, and that gates are where we come to and we have to make a decision to go through. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Gates have a great representation in the Word. Let me share some of them with you. The gate at Sodom, where Lot met two angels, Genesis 19 and 1. The gate at Jericho, sealed to keep all Israelite soldiers out, Joshua 2, 5 and 7. The gate at Gaza, which Samson ripped from its foundation and carried away, Judges 16, 2 and 3. The palace gate in Persia, where Mordecai overheard a plot against the king's life, which later would be used by God in saving all the Jews of Persia, Esther 2, 21 to 23. The gate at the rich man's house, where Lazarus begged for bread, Luke 16 and 20. The gate of salvation, Matthew 7 and 13. The gate of damnation, Matthew 7 and 13. The gate of death, Psalm 9, 13. The gate of heaven, Psalm 24, verses 7 and 9. And the gate of hell, Matthew 16 and 18. You know, one of the subjects that we always look at is the great anointing that Nehemiah had when he received the burden and then went to Jerusalem to repair the gates of Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah and his team of builders rebuilt the gates of Jerusalem. And listen to the gates, and I'm going to give you the spiritual meaning of each gate. The sheep gate means salvation, the cross and sacrifice. The fish gate meant witnessing, evangelism. The old gate talked about the strong foundation, the old ways of truth. The valley gate, suffering for spiritual growth, humbling in trials. The dung gate, garbage in the soul removed, cleansing, refined by fire. The fountain gate, living water. The Holy Spirit cleanses and empowers us. The water gate, cleansing, encouragement, and direction, the Word of God. The horse gate, endurance and strength, spiritual warfare. The east gate, living for the hope and to long for His return, Jesus' return, the Lord's return. Shut always, for the Lord is the one who will open it. And the inspection gate, personal examination of our lives, rewarded appropriately. You see, we'll speak on these later, but these particular meanings really apply to the New Testament church and where they're centered. And when we speak on them, I'll show you on a PowerPoint the actual map of where the gates were located and how they were purposely placed close and far apart to share these particular meetings of what was going on there. But just remember that these gates shown in Nehemiah shows a team effort. Everybody say team effort. A team effort. If the walls and gates were to be rebuilt, then everyone would have to play their part. The gate is a frequent metaphor for power, generally interpreted as meaning the power of Satan. Gates can request your hesitations or represent your hesitations or fears, decisions, as you thoughtfully and reasonably move forward into your destiny. You run into gates. There's times where you stop. How many understand what I'm saying this morning? There are times in your life spiritually where you stop. You hesitate. I see it all the time in people. I minister to people about this all the time. It's not about gates, because most of the time people don't realize that that is just a gate. That's the power of the enemy trying to stop you from moving forward into your destiny. Those points of clarity that may come through prayer and fasting, which you recognize as favor from the Lord. You need to have those points through prayer and fasting. You need to, don't worry or be overly concerned or give up, because these gates are there, which the enemy places there to stop you. The enemy tore down the gates in Jerusalem. And God sent Nehemiah to take a team of believers, people that trusted him. And was not the enemy there also to try to stop him from doing what God sent him to do? You see, today we are sent in times of great trouble where God wants us to help repair gates. I met with a young man the other day. I won't give his name, and I won't give his church's name, but he came to my home and visited me. He said to me on the drive up, he said, "I hope that where they're sending me to repair the automobile is Pastor Adams's house, because I was there 3 years ago, and he ministered to my soul." And he pulled up, and he saw me, and he started to cry. He said, "This is the Lord. I am so happy." And we talked for a couple hours about what he needed to do and what he needed to make a decision about. And I told him that he's a Nehemiah, and God is sending him to where he is placed now to rebuild the gates of that place where he is. And the pastor that's there will be the Ezra. So he just looked at me and he said, "Thank you, Pastor," and wept. "Thank you for that word." He said, "I have a meeting tomorrow with my former pastor, the new pastor, and we're meeting just the three of us." And he texted me and he said, "Pastor, this is unbelievable. We went into the meeting and the new pastor looked at me and said, 'You're the Nehemiah and I'm the Ezra.'" You see, God sets us up. Clarity comes into our mind of who we are, what our identity is, and that helps us get through the gates that the enemy tries to put there to stop us. Now listen to this, and I want you to think about this, if you will. There are times when you are at that place ready to enter into a promise, and the enemy rises up to block you from going forward. Amen? You may be stuck at the gate and have become comfortable there. Amen? You may also have decided to embrace the irreligious politics of the leaders of your city. Lot is an example of this in Genesis 19 and 1. Instead of bringing hope to that city by speaking the word of God at the gate. You see, we can get caught up in all of those. We could be comfortable. We can be literally in a place where the enemy stops us when God gives us a promise. I see that all the time with people. That God says something and they're excited about it, and then the enemy comes with just a stoppage, a plug, a gate. And they can explode right through it. It's like when David went to Goliath. That was a gate. Israel was at a gate. They didn't know what to do. They were afraid. This giant and all those Philistines, and this giant was 9 feet tall. May I say something just in a simplistic manner? That dude was big. Huge. Yep. Scary. Yep. And he was courageous enough to make everybody else afraid of him. But David said this, and we're not going to go through this story in 2 Samuel 17, but David just simply went to him after Goliath called him a dog and belittled him. He simply said, "You're not mocking me, but you're mocking the God of the armies of Israel." And that was the end of him. The gate blew open, and the Philistines lost. Goliath was dead. David won. You see, here, let me tell you something. If you would just move forward and realize behind you and surrounding you are angels and the God of Israel, and you've got your armor of God on, you're going to blow right through those gates. And you're going to move forward, and that enemy, whether it's the Amorites coming from the rear, trying to get to the weakest points of who you are and what you have become, or the Philistines who come right at you face to face with their giant and their courage, you can get right through that gate if you trust and believe God and know that He doesn't want you to just be blocked there, to stay there, and to be sitting there and be afraid to go through. He doesn't want you to be comfortable there, because people have brought you there, but you become comfortable there, and things are okay there, and He doesn't want that, and He doesn't want you to be hung up with the politics of this world to try to win people because of the politician's words. He wants you to win a city. Jesus is the Lord of every city. Jesus is the Lord of your life. Jesus is the Lord of your home. Jesus is the Lord of your family. Jesus is the Lord of your identity. Jesus is the Lord of your destiny. Amen. Yes. Praise God. You see, the enemy represents that comfort or satisfaction that you may settle for, even though you know there is more. You know there's more. Whomever I'm speaking into their life today, you know there's more. And the enemy wants you to feel comfortable right where you're at. Don't ever get comfortable till you're finished. Amen. Amen. Have you ever seen someone running a race sit down? They're not finished yet. They've got a long way to go. And somebody goes up and asks them, "What are you doing?" And they say, "I'm just sitting here because I'm comfortable." No, they went to run a race to finish. I just want to use an illustration. Last week I mentioned about Becky going through the triathlon, and what a wonderful thing for a person to do that. And then I teased her a bit, which I never do. And I said to her, "Well, what place did you come in, first, second, or third?" And she said, "Not those." And her husband jumped in right away and he said, "She finished." You see, you hear what I'm saying. That's the important part, that you finish what you start. You become a builder of the gate, or you blow through the gate because of the faith you have in your destiny and the God of your destiny. Praise God. Amen. That you have that this morning, and you know that's what God has for you. Your destiny. The enemy does not have the power to take that from you. You see, when he blocks those places, those gates, you know you have faith. Get through it. Or just a little faith. When you need to have faith that will withstand the enemy at the gate is where you have to have that breakthrough. You see, we serve the God of the gates, and he will do what he has promised. Listen, I love this. I just want to tell you, I love to quote this scripture because it means so much to me. But I want to quote it in the Amplified Version because it really draws it out and explains to our hearts. Ephesians 3:20. Now him who is able to do, carry out his purpose superabundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, and dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. You see, we come to a place when we walk with God to where we get comfortable. And we stop believing what God has told us our destiny is. We get comfortable and we know it's there. We know it's in us. But we get comfortable where we're at and we don't want to press anymore. The Bible says, press on. Press on. Press on. In Philippians chapter 3. 12 through 14. Till you come to that place. Till you reach the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. You see, you have to understand there's a pressing. And that word press in the New Testament means a word that you have to really push. You really have to push hard through prayer and through fasting and through belief and have a faith that's great. You know, Jesus said something to his disciples all the time. Oh, ye of little faith. He didn't say they had no faith. He said, ye of little faith. You have to have faith to press through your gate. You have to have abundant faith. You have to believe what Ephesians 3:20 states, that God is able, exceedingly abundantly, more than able to do all that you ask or think according to the power that worketh within you. Yeah. Hallelujah. That he'll take you through and you'll be able to be a strength and a living power for the Holy Ghost here on this earth. David was at a gate which he had to ask the Lord if it was okay to go and fight the Philistines. Many of you should know this story. Who outnumbered him? He had to get the word. Everybody say the word. He had to get the word from the Lord to build the faith he needed to withstand the enemy. Sometimes we try to go up against the enemy. See, David, when he fought Goliath, he had a word that he needed to fight him. He knew that he was supposed to go out there. He just didn't go out there like, because I'm David. He already had been shown that the lion and the bear was just an example of the small problems, what God can do. Now here's the big problem. Watch what God can do. You see, we have to understand that we can just move forward. And so he needed a word from the Lord to build the faith he needed to withstand the enemy. I'm telling you today, and I'm speaking to your life, speaking into your heart, speaking into your soul, that God wants to give you a word. Just ask for it. God wants to give you the word to go forward and to have the faith that you need to withstand the enemy. The enemy does not want you to move forward in your destiny. He doesn't want you to have the goodness of God. He doesn't want you to be abundant in the mercies of God. He doesn't want you to explode with the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. He doesn't want you to declare your salvation to people wherever you go. Amen. I was with some people the other day out of town, and I told them, I'm a pastor. I have a church up in San Pablo and a church in Santa Cruz. I said, you want to come? They said, no, that's hundreds of miles away. I said, well, I just had to ask you. Amen. Praise God. They may have had a relative up here. They may have a relative in San Francisco or Oakland, Pinal, Richmond. Or they may have a relative in Aptos, La Selva Beach, Santa Cruz, Watsonville, Scotts Valley. They may have a relative. Explode with the invitation. Let people know. Don't let the enemy stop you at the gate of inviting people to meet Jesus Christ. He had that encounter because he had that faith. And he had the encounter with the master of breakthroughs. 2 Samuel 5:19 through 21. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" He said, "I can't do this by myself. I have to ask you, God, because I certainly can't do this unless you're going to do the delivering." Amen. You have to do the delivering, so I'm going to ask you, are you going to deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless." I love that word. Doubtless. In other words, do not doubt. I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. So David went to Baal Perazim. And David defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And they left their images there. And David and his men carried them away and moved them away from that area. Because the master of breakthroughs brought victory. There was a gate and God broke it open for David. God broke it open for those people that day. Israel's history declares this spiritually over and over, where they had to stop and wait on the Lord to prevail for them, to guide them to the promised land. The Red Sea crossing. Everybody thought the gate was closed. He took us out the gate of Egypt, and now the gate was closed. You see how people think? Even in today in the New Testament, people think that God promised me, but when I got to my first place, the gate was closed. You know, I love it because Moses had probably about 3,000 people that he could hear, but 2.5 million people were there freaking out. They had the angel of the Lord, the cloud by day and the fire by night. The angel of the Lord went behind them to stop Egypt. I mean, my goodness gracious, what more witness do you need? The angel of the Lord. The graphic must have been incredible to see that going on. And these people are complaining to Moses, and Moses does a foolish thing. He didn't need to, because he saw it. He was the leader. God had spoken to him. He went through all those series of events with Pharaoh. Plagues and frogs and lice and everything. The death of the firstborn. The Passover was done. The firstborn of all of Israel did not die because of the blood on the doorposts. All these spiritual signs representing deliverance, even deliverance from sin by the Passover, the blood on the doorpost. Are you with me today, church?
Yes.
Literally, they get there. Moses did not have to do what he did next. He went and prayed, and God said, "What are you praying for? Go forward." In other words, there's the gate. Go forward and watch what I do with the gate. He blew that Red Sea wide open. What's your gate today? What is the gate that's in front of you? I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit of the Lord says to you, go forward. Break through that gate. The New Testament. Wow. Amazing. The apostles freed from prison. Acts 5:18-19. They were arrested for being bold and witnessing. They threw them in prison. That night, the angel of the Lord came and got them out of prison. And they said, where are they? They went to prison to find them the next day. They weren't there. And where were they? They were out there testifying and witnessing in the street. Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy put you behind bars. Peter walks out of prison. Acts 12:7. Same thing. He walks out of prison with his loud sandals on. Walks out and he's out of there. And his sandals in those days were wooden bottom sandals. And this were rocks that they were walking on. And, you know, it's just not like a pair of Birkenstocks or a pair of some sort of keen shoe that you may wear. It's simply clockety, 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 clock, and they didn't hear him. He's outside. He went to the house where the people were praying for him to get outside. And when they came to the gate, to see who it was, they didn't believe it was Peter, and they ran back in. I think it's Peter. They came out, it is Peter. They opened the gate. You see, we've got to believe God for the miracle that even comes to your gate and shows up at your gate. And we've got to believe that God brought that miracle. Amen?
Amen.
Paul and Silas in the prison gates blew open in Acts 16 and 26. But you see, Peter was on his way to the temple worship in John. And they walked by the man at the gate, beautiful. At the gate, beautiful. He was stuck at the gate. It's all he ever knew was the gate. He was comfortable at the gate. He got good funds there at the gate. Why does things need to change for him? And Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have, take my hand and rise in the name of Jesus Christ. And Peter brought him up. Friend, I'm telling you today, silver and gold I do not have as your pastor, but what I do have is Jesus Christ. Let me take your hand and pull you up and pull you up and pull you up that where you will walk from the gate that you're stuck at, and you'll begin to go into the church dancing and leaping, hallelujah, and the people will be amazed at what you do. Amen. Praise God. I love the gate that Peter had. And Peter said to him in Matthew 14, 28 through 30. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. That's the gate. There he is. He said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. Everybody say, he walked on the water. He didn't sink right away. He walked on the water. And I believe that he walked all the way up to Jesus. But then he saw the wind. The wind, the enemy is the wind. The enemy is the storm. And he took his eyes off of Jesus and he saw the wind and the storm. And as soon as he recognized the enemy and focused on the enemy, he sunk. But Jesus, but God, who is rich in mercy. Praise God. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Jesus lifted him up out of that water and walked back on the water with him and put him in the boat. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he screamed out, Lord, save me. You see, the enemy was the storm and the wind, but Jesus lifts us up above the storm. The Bible literally tells us that we will, if we wait upon the Lord, we will renew our strength. We will mount up as wings of eagles, Isaiah 40, 31. And we will run and not become weary, and walk and not faint. You see, the Lord has promised us that if we wait upon him and we follow his direction and we walk with him and understand what he's doing in our life. You see, I'll have to preach a message to all of you on what it is to understand what the Lord is doing in your life. Because so many people come to me and they say, I just don't know what's going on. To understand what the Lord is doing in your life and to allow that to happen. And let me tell you something. Everyone goes through that. Pastors, leaders, everyone goes through that. People attending church, people that are in homes that can't even get to church, that have visitations from great people like Shauna that go and visit them and minister to them, pray for them. What's going on? Let me tell you something. I will explain this one day very soon to you. Understand what the Lord is doing. Jesus knew how to withstand the enemy. He was heading towards Jerusalem. And Peter was trying to stop him. You see, sometimes the enemy, now listen here, sometimes the enemy will use those close to you to stop the promise from being fulfilled. Am I ministering to you? I'm almost done. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? He'll use people to stop you. Because people are insecure because you're so good at what you're doing. They get insecure, so they're going to stop you because they're afraid if you go further down the road in your destiny that they're not going to know how to handle themselves. You see, you have to understand that Peter was trying to stop Jesus from going somewhere. Mark 8:32-34. He spoke this word openly. He told them, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to get beat up. I'm going to get scourged. I'm going to get whipped. Then they're going to kill me. And then I'm going to rise in 3 days. That's what this word that he spoke openly to a lot of people, not just his disciples. Then Peter took him aside. You know, hey, Jesus, come here. I got something. I need to talk to you alone in my office over here. Come on to my office, Jesus. I need to talk to you privately. And began to rebuke him. Rebuke Jesus. Somebody say, ouch. Rebuke Jesus. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. You're caught up in the politics. You're caught up in the politics of the world. You're a tool for Satan. He said, get ye behind me, Satan. He didn't say, Peter, now let me explain this to you. Peter, I know you called me to your office and we're sitting down here. He didn't do that. He knew exactly who was using Peter. And if you're not careful, the enemy will use you if you're not careful. Know the word. Know the word of God. Read the word of God. Read the word every year through from page one to the end page. Know the word of God. Know it. Amen. Memorize scripture. Read it. Jesus said, I rebuke you, Satan. Get ye behind me. No one's going to stop me from going to where I was heading from my mother's womb to Jerusalem. No one's going to stop me. Get ye behind me, Satan. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What he's saying, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself and take up your cross. If you're going to do that, you got to have these things happening in your life. You cannot just be hanging out. You got to take up your cross. You got to deny yourself and you got to follow Jesus. There's a faith needed to make it to heaven. There is a way and there is a gate. Matthew 7:13-14. I know this is a strong scripture, so, you know, it's real though. It's in the Word. And some people dare not kind of read the scripture in the generation that we're living in today because we should not. But oh, yes, we should. Yes, we should. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. That's a gate. The gate of heaven. Live a life that's good. Live a life that's holy. Live a prayerful life. Live a life that says, I love you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Live it. For Jesus. Your destiny is just in front of you. Let me close with this. The absolute is to embrace and to notice that when the man came through the gate beautiful, and was in the temple dancing and leaping. They did not recognize him at first. And when they did, they were amazed. I wonder how many people need their life adjusted just a little bit. Just enough to get people to see and witness what God has done in your life. I love to tell people what God has done for me. I love to tell people that God is real. Amen. I think we need to be a little bit more boisterous here, all of us, about who Jesus is. Amen. Take a moment, a few moments, and begin to ponder those gates in your own personal life that stop you and become detached from doing your ministry. Not just public ministry, but from praying, reading the Word of God, from being disciplined in your Christian walk. It takes a long time to be disciplined in prayer. I'm not saying that happens overnight. It takes a long time to be disciplined in reading the Word, picking up the Bible or the smartphone device or iPad device or whatever device you may have to read from there. It takes discipline to pray for other people. Tell God that they need to be blessed. They need to be healed. It is time to find or restore or renew. If you haven't found it yet, you can restore it or renew it. Faith to withstand the enemy at the gates. There are no gates that can keep you bound when the Lord is gladdened or touched by your faith. No gates can stop you. Read the book. No gates can stop you. You know, Gideon was at a gate. He was in a gate hiding, threshing wheat inside a wine vat. He was afraid of the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord came and said, "Oh, mighty man of valor." He looked around because he was so tight in his gate. He's looking around. "Are you talking to me?" Yes. He got out of there and he broke through the gate. Gideon did. Every one of us, any one of us, if individually today you can break through your gate when you have faith to withstand the enemy at the gate, the enemy will not be able to stop you. He will not be able to stop you. Amen.